Welcome to the podcast of the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined as usual by the editor of Buffalo Spree, Elizabeth Licata.
Hi, Mark.
How are you?
I'm great.
Well, everyone has to eat, and that's why we're all so interested in food. The July issue of Buffalo Spree is a special feature under the fun title of Foodie 40. And you've explored food many times in past issues, so what was your approach in this one?
Right. We explore food all the time. It's enormously important for our readers, who are humans and need to eat. So it's definitely the one common theme that we can always succeed with. The Foodie 40 attempts to sort of like look at this moment in time in Western New York and look at what's the food landscape like. I mean, yes, there are new things happening. There's new cuisines. There's trends and so on. Do we have food events that we always go to? And what are the old favorites that persist and that are still very important to us?
Well, what are some of the major trends?
Well, fermentation is gigantic, and that goes, there's so many different things. We didn't mention it, but there's the white cow yogurt, but also there's Barrel and Brine, the new pickle place. So fermentation cuts across a lot of different foods, vegetables, and then there's kombucha, which is fermented tea, basically. And that is something that is probably the newest on the, you know, in terms of the fermentation scene, is kombucha, which is this beverage that people are just really getting excited about.
Well, I learned a few things in the issue, including the presence of food prep services for people who like to eat but can't find the time to cook.
That was really interesting to me because I had not heard of that at all. So that was one of the things, one of the very few things that our writers came in with for this that I wasn't even aware that was a trend.
And these are chefs that will prepare meals for you at a cost of $7 to $8 a meal.
Sure. And it's great for busy people. There's a lot of ways to make cooking easier but still healthy. You're not rushing and grabbing, you know, a bunch of fast food at a drive-in window or anything. These are methods that allow families to still have, you know, a healthy diet, but when mom doesn't have like 2 hours to spend preparing a meal. And that's pretty much what it always takes.
So who are some of the more influential figures in the local food movement, if I can call it that?
Well, I the first one that comes to mind, of course, is Krista Glennie-Seshu, who worked with Spree for a long time and is now working for Loop. And Krista continues to be important. She is the organizer of the Inn events that are held more or less monthly, kind of fun food competitions and gatherings and for chefs and foodies from all over. And then, of course, she's still doing Nickel City Chef, which is a very popular cooking competition between chefs that sells out within days that she announces the schedule every single year.
And she still contributes to various publications?
Yes. Just recently, Krista started writing again. She's got a column in the News, and she is going to be writing more for Spree.
Now, I want to talk about coffee, because that's one of the trending issues. But in my opinion, when I look at coffee, you know, the specialty coffee shop seems so 2000 that, you know, we've gone beyond that by this point.
The specialty coffee shop is so 2000. I'm not really talking about that. We're not talking about the coming of, you know, the spots, yeah, the Starbucks, the comfort zones, all those kinds of coffee shops that people like to hang out with and do work and so on. What I'm talking about is ways of preparing coffee that were not common before, very scientific ways, really treating coffee as an important food and putting all the care and preparation into it that you would if you were in a white tablecloth restaurant, like if you had caviar in front of you or you had foie gras in front of you, taking the very best coffee beans that are roasted the very best way that they can, and then applying technologies that get every bit of goodness out of every single grain of ground coffee, like the cold drip method for cold brewed coffee, which I have there's a place that we talked about, Caffeology, that's right on my corner, and I go in there all the time because they just have a way of preparing the coffee. So it's not that they're a coffee shop, it's what kind of coffee you're getting from them.
This is where I fall short. As much as I love coffee, you know, I know I'm not doing it right. I'm using a 1990s era coffee, drip coffee machine still, and I'm buying, you know, store brand coffee at the supermarket. And
well,
this is some area where I need to get with the program because I love coffee.
All you need is a coffee grinder and a French press, and then you'll be fine.
Okay. So not too complicated.
It's not that complicated.
All right. Do you find it hard to believe how prevalent food trucks have become in just really a relatively short period of time here in Buffalo?
I guess not. I mean, once the logjam, you know, just broke through when you know, Lloyd had their day in court and it was decided that they could exist. And I think it's just people see that it's something that people want, and so they're providing it.
Yeah.
The market is there. So I'm not surprised. As long as the market is there, they're going to continue to roll out new food trucks. And often a lot of the food trucks that we're used to, like, for example, the Polish food truck has, you know, shut down. So, I mean, so some of them go and new ones take their place. And they're great for events because if you've got an event out in, you know, a field somewhere and you really, you know, need to feed your people, then you just put out a call for the food trucks and they'll come if they feel that there's going to be enough of a market there.
And it seems like the restaurants who were so opposed to them early on, they've bought in. They, you know, many restaurants now have their own food trucks.
Oh, yes. There's restaurants now like Lloyd, for example. That's a big example. They've got one brick and mortar restaurant. They're looking at another one on Elmwood, and they still have their fleet of three food trucks. And I think that...
Well, you had the food truck first, then the restaurant.
Yes.
I'm talking about restaurants like Chef's.
Oh, yes.
Polish Villa.
Yes, it's going the other way. Yes,
yeah.
It's going the other way as well. But, you know, we're still having some food truck controversy because I see in your hometown in Williamsville.
Yeah.
Well, you're actually Snyder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Next door.
Yeah. Seems to be a little bit of an uproar over the cost for having a food truck. So we're definitely watching that. I hope that turns out okay.
So do I, because I think it's ridiculous to install fees that make it not possible, and then the food trucks won't come, and then it's the public that loses out. One interesting use of a food truck, and I don't know if a lot of people do this, but we were at a private house party a couple of years ago, and rather than having the event catered, the food truck pulled up in the driveway, and we ordered what we wanted, and at the end of the day, the hostess settled the bill, and I thought that was really cool.
Oh, I would love that. I mean, even having someone in your house helping you with catering, it's still work for you.
Yeah.
Having the food truck come and have people go up and serve themselves, that's perfect.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. There are so many new and trendy restaurants, but when it comes to Italian, of all the restaurants you mention in an article about old favorites, they've all been around for decades.
Yes, I think it's still a very strong, strong base for traditional Italian food here. And you even see new restaurants opening up that serve basically traditional Italian food, such as Tapo. And then you have restaurants that have been around for a long time, like Fortuno's and Como and the Falls. I tend to think of Niagara Falls, actually, when I think of Italian food, because they really do have some great restaurants there.
Yeah.
But we have great ones here in Buffalo as well. And even, you know, some of the more white tablecloth restaurants like Sinatra's are still serving basically traditional Italian dishes.
Mm-hmm.
So it cuts across all price points. Our love for, we call it red sauce, you know, but your Southern Italian food basically is what you're talking about.
So do you have any questions for me about what I personally like?
Well, I'm going to ask you some quiz you to see how adventurous you are. Have you tried kombucha?
That I have not.
Did you know what kombucha is?
No.
Okay.
So I learned that in this issue.
Have you tried Balkan dining?
Balkan?
Yes.
From the Balkan region?
Yes. We have a restaurant called Balkan Dining in Western New York.
Okay. No, I have not.
Have you tried Ethiopian?
Not at Lucy's, but I did have Ethiopian twice while meeting with the public radio news directors in Washington back in the 1990s. We arrived at the restaurant and, you know, I was sort of amazed. What? No silverware? We use what to pick up the food? And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And we went once more and haven't been back since. I just need to find a, you know, someone who will go to places like this because my wife is not a fancy eater. So,
That's tough. Well, yeah, that's part of the compromise,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Was there anything in here that you really interested you and thought, well, I really do want to try this?
I do want to do the Ethiopian. When I saw that, it's like I really got to get to Lucy's at some point because I thoroughly enjoyed it That was the one place that, you know, intrigued me that I got to find a way to get there.
Well, you know, the thing about being a busy editor and having a lot of other obligations is that you know about all these things. Yeah. You want to go to them, but you don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You never get
to
them.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many restaurants that I read about and, you know, I want to get there. And when it comes time to do something, you know, where do you want to go? And you go to the old corner. You know, restaurant that you go to all the time.
That's
you know,
what we do. And plus, hungry. Since we live in Allentown, we like to walk.
Yeah. So one of the big events of the year is coming up, and it's this weekend, the Taste of Buffalo. It's very mainstream, but is this still a go-to event for anybody interested in food?
Absolutely. A lot of these restaurants that come to Taste of Buffalo, they really bring it. They want to win, and they're given. They have to create a healthy option. There's lots of requirements of them, and it's a chance for them to really show off. Also, you see the food trucks there. I've been a judge at Taste of Buffalo for like 4 or 5 times, and I just love it.
I'm judging for the first time this weekend. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Because I can't do it, so you probably got my spot.
Well, WBFO WNED is manning a booth, so I don't know if that has something to do with it, or maybe they heard I judged the best kielbasa contest on Dingus Day and said we got to.
I did that once too.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to doing.
No,
that
I think we'll bring at least 4 people with you.
Okay.
I'm dead serious. Because you're really expected to try everything at every booth, and you're going to get 8 booths. You're going to have to try 5 things at 8 or more, you know, 3 to 5 things. You're going to need helpers.
Because tasting 23 varieties of kielbasa on Dingus Day.
No, this is much more diverse than that. Yeah. I think you'll probably, I mean, nothing against the kielbasa, but I think you'll enjoy it more.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
I think so.
Because of the, as you said, the variety. Well, your personal contribution to the food section was a brief article about foraging, and from what I understand, that's harvesting edible plants that grow wildly?
Yes. No, the most famous type of foraging that we know of is for ramps, which is in April and May, and because they really, you cannot cultivate them, and they're a type of wild onion. You have to go out into like a preserve or someplace or an empty field and find them. But there's And this isn't new to me because I grew up with an Italian grandfather, and they would routinely, there's all kinds of weeds, and they had a nice article in the Buffalo News about it recently, that you can eat. There's all kinds of things that you can eat, daylilies, you can eat violets, you can eat every part of the dandelion is edible. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of things that we just think are terrible and that we need to spray Roundup on them, and they're delicious and nutritious greens.
Now, do you have to have at least some knowledge, though, to make sure what you're eating is safe as opposed to something that could be poisonous?
I would stick to the basics, stick to your dandelions and your other greens that are very familiar and that you know people have been eating for generations. So I would stick to the most well-known unless I was a really experienced forager.
Well, another thoroughly enjoyable issue.
It's always fun. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks. Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.